I'm sure that Robert had a good lesson prepared this morning, but he just got up and left. He had to take Carol to the hospital.
I don't know yet.
May have to. Okay. So consider her and think of her in your prayers. I don't know. I just saw him get up and walk out, so you'll have to put up with me this morning in an unprepared lesson. I'm sure he had a good lesson, all lined up as he always does. I know on the board he's speaking of fathers love your husbands as Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. Husband loves their wives? What did I say? Oh. Husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. He washed it, redeemed it in his blood, the washing of the water and the word, that he might present the church unto himself a holy church, having neither spot nor blemish nor any such thing, that it might be holy and without reproof. This is Mother's Day, and mothers are the backbone of this country. However, I have not prepared anything about Mother's Day, so we will talk of our brethren in the first century. Why the church stood, why the church made great progress in the first century. Why the people stood in the face of all persecution. When in the first, second, and third century, when the people, our brethren, were being slaughtered and their blood was poured out on all the Colosseums and all the games that they played. And in the midst of all this, in Revelation 1, Jesus stands before John, being as he sees the vision of the Son of Man in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks in chapter 1 of Revelation. John falls at his feet as one dead, he says in verse 17. He laid his right hand on him and said, "Fear not. Fear not, for I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I hold the keys to life, to death, and Hades." Jesus is the living one. Therefore, he says, "Fear not." He says that to people that were being slaughtered by the Roman nation. People that had declared that Christianity was a sinful religion in their minds. People that they declared were atheists. The Romans considered Christians atheists because they wouldn't bow to any gods. They claimed that they were immoral because they ate people, referring to the Lord's Supper, and many things. But as you read in the book of Revelation, when you come over to the chapter 12, chapter 12 shows us, it tells that verse 5 is the whole life of Christ. You have Satan right before the woman who's going to bear a child in verse 4. And in verse 5, she bore a man-child who should rule the world, and he's caught up into heaven. The whole life of Christ in one verse. We see that Satan, verse 12, is really chapter 12 is really a chapter that teaches us that Satan is a loser. He lost when he tried to eat the son that was being born of the woman. He knew who she was. He knew who the Savior was, because from Genesis 3:15, the seed of woman was going to bruise the head of Satan. He knew exactly who she was as he follows the seed line down through the nation of Israel, the seed of Abraham, through the tribe of Judah, as the promise went through Judah in Genesis 49. And he knew that he was the son of David, as the son of David was promised to sit on the throne forever in 2 Samuel 7, Psalms 89. He knew, since Isaiah 7:14, that this Messiah would be born of a virgin. There's only one virgin that ever conceived and bore a son. So Satan knew who this lady was in verse 4 of chapter 12 of Genesis. And it shows him as he sits before her, waiting for her to bear that child that he might devour it. But the child was caught up into heaven. And Satan follows it. Satan loses before Jesus on the earth. He's a loser on the earth. He follows Jesus into heaven, and there's a war between Michael and his angels and Satan and his angels. And there's a great war, and guess who loses? Satan is a loser. He lost on the earth. He loses in heaven. And we see as we go on down there that he follows down. He's cast out of heaven, and he chases the woman, who at this time is the church. That's in verse 13 and following. He chases after the woman that he might devour. God gives her wings of an eagle. And he pours forth water to devour the woman. But God overcomes for the woman. The woman is the church at this position. At the first part of it, she is the people of God, because it takes in Israel and the church. But in verse 13 and following, God saves the woman, and Satan loses when he battles the church. Then the last verse, he goes after the seed. Since he can't defeat God's church, he couldn't defeat God's son on earth or in heaven. He couldn't defeat the church. He goes after her seed, which is individual Christians. And he loses there as long as we hold our faith. Romans 16:20. Speaking of Jesus bruising the serpent's head, says, and Satan will be bruised under your feet shortly. Every time a saint leaves this earth, Satan's head gets trampled again. Satan is a loser. God wants us to know Satan is a loser. And anybody that follows Satan is going to be a loser with Satan. But our saints overcome. And he tells us how they overcome in chapter 12, verse 11. He says, and they, that's the saints, overcame him, that's Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life even unto death. We overcome, actually for one reason, and the other two follows. We overcome because of the blood of the Lamb. We just took the Lord's Supper. We remember the Lamb that shed on the cross his flesh. It says in John 1:29, John sees Jesus coming and he says, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Jesus is our only hope. As Satan is a loser, everybody that's in Christ is a winner. And it doesn't make any difference what it looks like going on around us. We know that we win as long as we hang into Christ. We can't lose. Because for us to lose would mean that God is defeated. And if God can't lose, we can't lose if we stay in Christ. He tells you in Hebrews 13:5. He says, be ye free from the love of money, content with such things as you have, for I will never forsake thee, neither will I in any way leave thee. We can leave God, but God has sworn he will never leave us. If we hang to God, we cannot lose. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. The only thing between us and eternity with Satan is the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God. That blood does everything for us that we need done. He'll tell us in 1 Peter 1, 18 down through about 20. He says you were redeemed, not with corruptible things, the silver and gold, from your vain manner of life handed down from your fathers, but with precious blood, as of the blood of a lamb, without blemish, without spot, even the blood of Christ, who was foreknown indeed before the foundation of the world, but was manifested at the end of these times for our sake. Redemption comes from the blood of the Lamb and the blood of the Lamb only. He'll tell you in Revelation 1 verse 5, speaking about 4 and 5, tells us who the author of the book of Revelation is. It's God the Father, the Holy Spirit. In verse 5 says, and Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, who is the ruler of the kings of the earth, unto him who loved us and loosed us from our sins by his blood. We're loosed from our sins by the blood of Christ. There's no other way to be loosed from your sins except by the blood of Christ. There's no other way to enter into God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other name under heaven wherein men must be saved. It's in Jesus and the blood of Christ. He is our Redeemer, and he loosed us from our sins. Not only that, in chapter 5 of Revelation, verses 9 and 10, they sing a new song. Worthy is the Lamb to take the book and open the seals thereof. For he was slain and did purchase unto God with his blood. Purchased with his blood men of every tongue, tribe, people, and nations. And made us them to be unto our God a kingdom and priest, and they rule on the earth. We are victorious. We rule right now. We will rule eternally. Chapter 20 says, those that are slain or those that are alive set on the throne beside on the right hand of God, and we reign for 1,000 years. That means forever. We do that by the blood of the Lamb. In Romans 5, in verse 8, it says, God showed his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then in verse 9, he says, much more than being justified by his blood. Justified by his blood shall we be free from the wrath of God in him. For if while we were enemies, we were saved by the death of his son, much more in his life shall we be saved. He told us in Peter that we were redeemed with his blood. He told us in Revelation 1:5 that we are loosed from our sins by his blood. He tells us in 5:9 and 10, we're made a kingdom. We stand with God because of the blood of the Lamb. He tells you in Romans that we are justified by the blood of the Lamb. That's where everything comes from, is the blood of Christ. He'll tell you in 1 John 1 and 7. He says, if we have fellowship one with another, the blood of Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. His blood is continually cleansing us. His blood washes us. We come in contact with his blood when we're buried with him in baptism. When we're raised pure, washed by the blood of Christ. We're redeemed with it. We're loosed from our sins with it. We're justified with it. Now we're cleansed as we walk daily in Christ. We're cleansed from our sins all the time as we have fellowship. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood continually washes us. We're continually washed in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus' blood shed on that cross is the only important thing that has ever happened in all of history. A lot of things happened in history. We had a Genesis flood. We had the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. You have the destruction of Phoenicia, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greek, the Romans Empire. You have all these things. We had World War I. We had World War II. We had the Vietnam War. We had the Korean War, the Vietnam War. We're now in war. And none of that makes any difference. Because in all of that, men still have one destination. You're born, you're going to die. And the only thing that makes any difference is the cross of our Lord Jesus. The blood of Jesus that takes us from the sinful nature of mankind and makes us before God holy. He says in Romans 6, verse 17, "Thanks be to God that whereas you were servants of sin, you become obedient from the heart to that form of doctrine whereunto you were delivered. And having made being freed from sin, you become servants of righteousness." That all happens. Being servants of sin to being servants of righteousness, that takes place at a point in time. A time when you become obedient from the heart to a form of doctrine whereunto you're delivered. Paul had just written about that form in verses 1 through 11 in Romans 6. Speaking about our baptism. That's where the old man is buried, is washed in the blood of Christ, which we meet becoming like him in his death. The man raised is raised a new man. And he's raised to give his life to Christ. Jesus, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death no more hath dominion over him. For the death that he died unto sin once. And the life that he lives unto God. Even so, reckon yourselves also as alive from dead, and your life given unto God. Dead unto sin, and your lives given unto God. That cross is the changing point of everything. And Jesus gave his life that when we come to that cross, from that time on, we'll be totally different. Till we come to the cross, once we've passed the innocency of childhood, once we pass that, until we get to the cross, we belong to Satan. We enter into Jesus' death in baptism. When we're raised from the dead, we pass that cross. We live in Christ. All these people out of Christ are losers with Satan. They have no hope. And all that are in Christ have victory. Victory forever. They overcome Satan, the church did, by the blood of the Lamb. Because of the word of their testimony. Now that you're saved by the blood of the Lamb, it gives us two privileges. Great privileges. We get to speak for Christ. Psalms 51. Where David, pleading with God to cleanse him from the sin, speaking of his sin with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband, Uriah, says, "Cleanse me and wash me and I'll be whole. Then will I speak your word. Then will I bring sinners to you." Isaiah 6 said, when he was cleansed, Isaiah verse chapter 6, he sees the vision after the death of Uzziah, the king. He sees the real king. He sees God. He sees the Lord high and lofty and lifted up, sitting on the throne, and his train filled the heavens. He sees the seraphim singing above him, "Holy, holy, holy." And he says, "Woe is me," down about verse 4. "For mine eyes have seen the King, Jehovah of hosts. Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, Jehovah of hosts." And we see one of the seraphim flew and take a gold, burning coal from off the altar, and he touched his lips and says, "Your sins are forgiven, your iniquity is taken away." And what's the reaction? God says, "Who shall I send and who shall go for us?" Isaiah says, "Here am I, send me." We overcame by the blood of the Lamb. But when that blood washes us of our sins, the reaction to that is speaking. For our Lord God, who did everything for us that is of any eternal significance. They overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. Why did Jesus die? In Mark 14, when he stands before the high priest, 61 to 63, the high priest adjures him, asking him if he is the Son of God, the Blessed. And all he had to do was deny that to save his soul, to save his life. But Jesus didn't deny it. He said, yes, he was. He is the Son of God. Cost Jesus his life. And he says, that's what it'll cost you. He doesn't want any part of us. He wants all of us. He will get all of us or none of us. He doesn't want 75% or 80%. Either he gets 100% or he wants none of us. Jesus tells us over and over the price of discipleship. Luke 14. Not a good Mother's Day verse, is it? Verse 26. "He that cometh unto me and hateth not his father and mother, his wife, his children, his brothers and sisters, yea, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Verse 27, "Whosoever beareth not his own cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Verse 33, "Whosoever therefore renounceth not all that he has cannot be my disciples." The price is 100%. We come to that cross as servants of Satan. We die and are washed in the blood of the Lamb. We come up out of that cross and we overcome him by the word of our testimony. We're saved for a purpose. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. "We are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession." That. Oh, there's a purpose in all that, huh? "We're all these things that we might show forth the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light." That's what we live for, to speak his word, to teach everybody, all the nations, to teach everybody of the blood of the Lamb that washes away sins. People all around us walking with Satan. And they don't even know it. They don't even know it. The Buddhists that we lived among for years, they have no hope. They don't even know it. Which tells you something about the feeling of mankind, huh? Jesus says, if you abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There is no freedom outside of truth. There is no truth for salvation outside of the Word of Christ. That Word which brought us to the blood of Christ, we also have to proclaim to those around us that they might have the privilege of coming to Christ. The price is high. Jesus wants 100%. 2 Timothy 2:2. Paul tells Timothy, he said, the words which you received from me among many witnesses, the same teach thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. It's only that word of truth that saves us, that brings us to the blood of Christ. It's that word, that same word of truth that we have to speak so that other people can come to Christ. Paul says the same thing. He tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:13, hold the pattern of sound doctrine. Hold that pattern of sound doctrine which you heard from me in faith and love which is in Jesus Christ. Hold that pattern. We use that same word over in while ago in Romans 6:17. Thanks be to God, whereas you were servants of sin, you become obedient to that form of teaching. That form is the same word as that pattern in 2 Timothy 1:13. Therefore, Paul leaves Timothy in Ephesus when he's going to Macedonia that he might charge certain men not to teach a different doctrine. There is only one truth. There's only one truth, and that truth is what saves mankind. That's what we're given the privilege here in Revelation 12, where he says they overcome them by the word of their testimony. And they love not their life even unto death. That's the third point. They overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb, which does everything for us. By the word of their testimony, they're not ashamed of Jesus. They speak to people about Jesus, and they love not their life even unto death, because that is the price of preaching Christ. Jesus tells them in John 15, the apostles, in verse 18, he says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hates you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I called you out of the world hates you. A servant is not above his master. If they hated me, they'll hate you. If they love me, they'll love you. So when we preach that word, when we give the testimony of Jesus, when we preach that, know what's coming. Because with truth, there's no shady areas. I mean, truth saves, and if you're not in the truth, you're lost, and people don't want to hear that. Again, why did the Jews crucify Jesus? Because he claimed to be the Son of God. Now that left the Jew with no choice. Because false prophets were to be executed. Deuteronomy 13 and Deuteronomy 18 will tell you that. They either had to accept Jesus as what he said, or they had to execute him. They stayed with Satan. Where do we stay? They lost. Jesus paid the price. We preach his testimony, and we're subject to pay the price also. If you're staying up with the policies of our government, they're trying to pass a law now that I can't even say from a pulpit that a homosexual is sinful, that murder of unborn children is sinful. They're trying to put that under a hate crime. So it may be that it's time for some of us preachers and Christians that speak the truth to spend some time in jail. Paul didn't hurt him. He's in heaven now. So maybe we need to go to jail. But he said they overcome. Not only by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, but they love not their life even unto death. But really our death takes place at baptism. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live in the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said he already died. How do you persecute a dead person? It doesn't hurt to kick a dead dog. He doesn't howl because he's dead. Paul said, I'm dead. And that's not a great claim by Paul. He says the same thing to us in Romans 6, verse 6. Our old man was crucified with him that the body of sin may be done away, and be no longer in bondage to sin. We overcome because we don't hold our life as dear. Paul says, I hold not my life of any account as dear unto myself, that I might finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus. In about Acts 20:24. They get after Paul, try to keep him from going to Jerusalem over in Acts 21. Verse 13, he says, what do you, weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be in bondage in Jerusalem, but to die for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and we love not our life even unto death. There comes a time in our life, decision time, where are you going to be in eternity? It's all in our hands. God gave us the right of choice. The rich young man comes to Jesus, wants to know what he has to do to be saved. Jesus says, he mentions the Ten Commandments. The man says, I've done that all my life. Jesus says, you lack one thing. Go sell all that you own, give unto the poor, and come and follow me. He went away, sad, and went away. Notice, Jesus doesn't follow him. Jesus didn't plead with him. Jesus didn't compromise. Jesus says, that's the price. He wasn't willing to pay it. This is the price that Jesus gives us. Are we willing to pay it, or are we not willing to pay it? It's all our decision. God doesn't force us. Look out in your life. Look out in how many days do you have ahead of you? May have many, may have one. We might all die today. And we know where salvation lies. We know those in Christ are winners. If you stand in God, you cannot lose. If you stand with Satan, you cannot win. So anybody here that is not in Christ, if you've not come to that cross where you change from being Satan's servants to being servants of Christ, or if anybody needs to come back to the Lord, come this morning while we stand and sing.